Hello, everyone. My name is Joshua Weyen. I'm your host of the Book of the Month Club call. This is a prelude to our conference call tonight. We have a great panel member that will be reviewing the book for this month. And we also want to just let you know that we have cut out some great conversation that we have put at the end of this call. So take a listen to that. We did this to save you time so you can get right into the call. By the way, we'd like to encourage you to grab a pen and notebook, take copious notes, because the information that you'll be writing down will help you very much in your business now and in the future. All right, Elvira, thank you very much for standing by for me.
My pleasure, Joshua. Go ahead.
Thank you. John is going to be joining us in a moment. Just want to give everybody an update of what we've been working on for you. Dream Builders, we've been working very hard to make the book of the month much easier to obtain. And very shortly, in fact, this coming week, you'll be receiving an email blast that will allow you to download a form, sign up for the auto ship so that your books can be shipped automatically to you way before the beginning of each month, so that you have the book ready for you to go. So it's going to be on a voluntary basis. We're not going to go ahead and sign you up without your consent. They need to have this form on hand with your payment information. I received a copy of that 2 days ago via email, and said a few things, sent it back to Terry at Dream Builders, and so we are almost good to go on that. Now, while we're waiting for the call to kick in, I just also want to let everybody know that's on the call tonight, our book for the month of June. Now, keeping in mind that next month, June 1st, we're going to be focusing on sponsoring. We are going to be exploding our business through sponsoring. We're going to do something that is very unique in our industry, especially in our company, DWG International. And so the book we selected for next month is Prospecting. If you're writing this, it is entitled Prospecting. Prospects, how to find them, sign them, and what to do with them in multi-level. This book is by Venus C. Andrek. She's also the author of MLM Magic. This is a very easy read publication. Here's something that is written about this book from Dream Builders. It is said that Venus is a successful businesswoman and single mother who earned more than $100,000 in her first 10 months of MLM. In Prospecting, she teaches you where and how to find good distributors for your business. And this book is a perfect read if you want to recommit yourself to your business or help those in your organization who are new or who really want to experience success. This book is only 99 pages long. And the reason why we made a switch from the book we selected previously is that we're going to be very busy. This is summer months for many of us. Our business is in high gear right now. And so we want to select a book that is easy to read. I consulted with Dream Builders. They highly recommend this book. In fact, I've read it before, and I'm going to read it again. It's an easy read. In fact, it will take you just about a day or two to finish reading this book if you're a fast reader. If you read a little bit slow, like some of us, it may probably take you just about a week or two to finish reading this. So we are sensitive to the time that we're heading into and your business, and so we've made that change for your benefit. Let me also mention that John Fogg is with us tonight. John, are you on?
I am, sir.
Welcome, John, to our call tonight. Now, John Milton Fogg lives in Crozet, Virginia, with his lovely family that I'm opportunity to visit with in just about a week or so. I want to tell you that this is the second time we will have John Fogg to do a call with us with our Book of the Month call. He was with us back in December. John Fogg is going to be talking about TGN tonight, which is the greatest networker community. John will give us more information on that. He said to me a few days ago when I spoke with him, he said, if you are familiar with Top Line Magazine, that is nothing compared to TGN. So we look forward to hearing that in just a little bit. My panel tonight, I just want to confirm, Janet Gonzalez, are you on the call with us? Okay, we're supposed to have Janet from another planet on the call tonight. She's from Arizona, probably she will join us a little bit. But I do have Paula Saraceno from Denver, Colorado. Paula, you on?
I'm on.
Great. And we also have Tony Stafford on the call with us tonight from California. Tony, again, is our recording engineer tonight. For the very first time, we're going to be making this call available for you distributors through the technology of the Internet. You'll be able to go back and listen to this call again and again and again, and in fact, use the information to teach and educate and coach your distributors in the months to come in the future. So we're here for a treat tonight with John Milton Fogg on the call with us. Now let's focus on the book of this month, for this month, which The Greatest Networker in the World. Specifically, we concentrated on the second version of the book, Conversations with the Greatest Networker. This is part of the million-selling platinum double book. And I'll tell you something, this book this month is just absolutely awesome. And I can tell you guys what I've learned from this book already this month. I'm implementing it in my business. We'll learn what it means to have a strong belief system in what you're doing, that everything happens in conversation, how to build your network marketing based on conversations, creative listening. John talked about the meaning of a belief, what it means to be a mentor. He talked about how to train and who to train to be successful in our business. He talked about the formula for success, which was covered on page 189. There's so much more that I know those of you on the panel tonight will be willing to share with us. And may I invite Elvira Scrudel to be on the panel tonight. I know she's ever on, so we're going to have her on to a standing place for Janet Gonzalez. So let me, before I invite John to do what he does best, let me just come to you. First of all, Paula, let me come to you right out there in Denver, Colorado. What stood out for you this month in reading this book?
This book has been so fantastic for me in learning all the different facets of the network marketing that I didn't know in the past. And it's so great to have a book that has this information in it at your fingertips. If you could see my book, it's got little stickies all over it and underlined and everything else. I'm going to use that information to help my distributors in my downline and in a training situation. Not only does it help me with my network marketing, the principles in this book have helped me with my sales in general. I own a Corvette dealership, and so we are always in the sales mode. So we're always on, just like we are with WG. So these principles also cross the line into that, and it's fantastic, and I have learned so much. The biggest thing I think is so important is to believe in yourself and believe in your product and believe in what you do. And that way it comes across that you really want to succeed, and this helps so much.
Paula, you talked about what you learned from this book this month, helping you in your regular business at the dealership. Say more about that. Can you give us an example of that?
The thing that I found most important was the conversation. We have to have a conversation to know exactly what the customers need or want or to fulfill their needs. Now, it's not just what I do is not a transportation car. I have to find out what they are looking for in a sports car and this type of thing. So you have to talk to them, and you have to find out what's important to them, what their hot buttons are, And to do that, you have to have a conversation with them. And as they get to know you and you get to know them and some of the things that you can relate to or basically have the same values, as John put in his book here, they begin to trust you and believe that you are interested in what they're interested in. So it's not as if you're just out there attacking them, here by this car type thing. And the same thing goes with DWG. You need to find out how this will work for them. And that was real important to me, to go back to that basic premise, and that's a basic premise in all of sales. You have to have the people think that they're important and that you're listening to them. And that way you build a rapport and they trust you. And that's kind of important in any business. So that's
wonderful.
The biggest thing.
Thank you so much for sharing those deep thoughts with us. Tony, I'm going to go somewhere to your end there in California. Tony, share with us what sort of stood out for you as you read through Conversations with the Greatest Networker in the World. Please, Tony.
Well, you know, I read The Greatest Networker many years ago, and I haven't gone back to it. And now that I'm reading the conversation, I'm going, I don't know why I didn't read it again more sooner. To me, the whole concept of conversation is what life is about. I've had some training here recently, and John's words echo a lot of those, the things that I've been involved with. And one of the things that I found, not only is it life itself, but in reality, you'll find that you cease to exist if you're not in communication with people. You wonder why people, you know, the way they're perceived in the world and things like that is all about conversation. And so all the stuff around conversation, and then, of course, the listening part is just fantastic in that people that have trouble speaking in front of other people find that they probably is all caused by the listening habit. So that's really fantastic in that area.
Thank you, Tony. You did mention about people having trouble speaking, that they probably have a problem listening well. Could you say more about that?
That's a chapter I'm working through right now, and I just got to the 11 reasons why people don't listen, and they're kind of amazing, people spend time comparing themselves. They're thinking about that rather than hearing what the listening is a bad term, but hearing what the other person is saying, or they're derailing, or they're dreaming about something else. You know, as kids, we always talked about daydreaming in school and not paying attention, or you're fighting with that person. The conversation that comes out of it is fighting, or you're filtering it. You know, you're seeing it in what your past history has told you, what these words or things that person is speaking in. All that stuff is just amazing, and when you start putting that in the right context, it starts making everything that you do and you're listening better.
Thank you so much, Tony. I agree with what you said. On page 244, the information here says, John mentioned creative listening. He said maybe the most powerful personal and professional skill of all is creative listening, and he says, that's certainly true for me in my career and in my life. So listening is a skill that's recommended here. And when we train ourselves, when we practice again, becoming a good listener, we become a master at listening to others. We find the core values in their life, and then we can build that friendship or relationship with them that can, in fact, bring them into our business and help them to grow. Elvira, I'm going to go to you. Elvira, share with us, again, what stood out for you as you read through Conversations with the Greatest Networker this month. What stood out for you, and also how you've used it so far, the information so far in the last few weeks.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. And welcome, John.
Thank you.
The book, Conversations with the Greatest Networker in the World. Now, I was on the original call back in December, but the common threads in here that I have found that actually, in some regards, I have used to some extent, and certainly I'm focusing more on, and also some of the thoughts and everything that come through here. On page 174, John talks about the word belief, or should I say, the greatest networker talks about the word belief, being made up of two parts. B is the first part, and you and I have already talked about that, is what it says here. And the second part is leaf, which comes from the Indo-European lube, which means love. Now, it's interesting, this stuck out for me because Daryl Zampowski, who wrote Love is Letting Go of Fear, that's the one thing that came to my mind when I read this. And certainly to believe in oneself, love has to come in and be part of that. That was one of the parts. I won't go into it any further regarding that. Another thing that I've noticed, and my husband's actually one who has shared with me that sometimes I don't listen. Believe it or not, sometimes I don't listen. But I have, in many aspects of my life, tried to listen more closely. And just recently, yesterday, I met a gentleman for the first time, and it was a result of a business card that I left on a yellow, bright yellow Mustang, 2003 convertible. And we had the opportunity yesterday afternoon to actually go for a ride and converse and share some information. Well, listening certainly has a great impact. And what I find over time is in listening and asking questions, and John, or the greatest networker in the world here in this book, does that consistently. A lot of times I feel the answer is within us. We just need something to fish it out, to pull it out. And that, for me, is also very important. The story about the psychiatrist, when he was one of the most interesting persons in the world. I have noticed myself with some people who have asked me a lot of questions. I didn't know who they were at the end. It's like, oh, man, what's going on? So there are a lot of parallels that have been going on here. Page 193, it says, for a network marketer, the business of actually asking people questions about who they are, and that's really important to them, listening creatively, openly by design, is one of the most fundamental of all skills. Now, Paula had mentioned earlier when she shared her stories about her customers, what she wants to find out, and that type of thing. That's something else that has also stuck out in my mind. Creative listening, certainly. And this is one part that I am going to go back and look at again and again. I understand it, I believe, but I'm sure there's something in there that I'm missing just because it is so, so full of information. And Joshua, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, Alvera. You talk about asking great questions. There's no doubt that that is something that I'm learning more and more. In fact, implemented in my business, I used it yesterday. There was a gentleman that was in front of a new distributor of mine, and this distributor concluded that because this gentleman has a very high-paying job, he would not be interested in network marketing. So I told Anthony, his name, I said, Anthony, do not make that conclusion. Listen to the question that I'm going to ask. Of course, using some of the information I've learned from this book this month. And I asked the gentleman, I said to him, I said, Michael, how long have you worked on your job? He said, 10 years. What do you do? He drives the bus for the city, and he gets paid very well. So I asked him, do you have a family? He said, yes. How many children? One. Daughter's name is Michelle. I asked him, I said, would you want Michelle to be a bus driver for the city just like you are? He said, no way. What kind of future do you want for your daughter? He said he wants his daughter to be a leader, to have a business that will put her in a position of leadership. And of course, you know what happens after that. But long story short, this gentleman is now a distributor in our company because of asking the right questions. So I want to thank John very, very much for teaching us and coaching us throughout the pages of this book this month about asking the right questions. And, of course, listening creatively without listening with prejudgment and not listening by default, like you said. So, John, thank you again. I want to turn this call over to John because I know we can learn for the next 35 minutes a whole lot. So guys, grab your pen and paper and write some really copious notes as I turn this call over to our special guest, Mr. John Milton Fogg, my friend and my coach. John, please.
Joshua, thank you. What I would rather do than sit here and talk at people is to find out what it is that people want to know. We call it a fireside chat. Richard Brooke taught it to me. He's the gentleman, if you haven't already. Have you done Mach 2 with your hair on fire, Joshua?
No, we haven't done that. It's on our list for later in the future. In fact, I'm a student of Mr. Brooke, who is a good friend of yours.
Yeah, it's a magnificent book, and he has a new version out called Mach 2 Starring You, and it's an updated version, and I just highly recommend that you check that out. When I first started doing speaking, the very first public speaking and network marketing I did was pretty outrageous. I was invited by the DSA, which is Direct Selling Association of Taiwan, to go and be their keynote speaker. That was the very first public speaking and network marketing I did with Upline and MLM Success. And it was hysterical because I had no idea what to do. I ended up putting together a slide presentation. So I had these slides that would come up, and then I would talk about these slides. And, oh, mama, it was, if I missed one word in my script, I'd go cross-eyed. And the great news was that the Chinese language is so much more difficult to write out and take notes. So they gave me all this wonderful time and this wonderful space in order to do my thing. But I saw Richard one night at an OxyFresh seminar. OxyFresh is the company that Richard is the CEO and chairman of the board of. And he did a thing called a fireside chat. He basically climbed up on stage. He had a microphone on, and there was a handheld microphone that was available. And he handed it out to the audience and said, "So, what do you want to know?" And he just had a conversation with them. And since we're talking about the book, Conversations with the Greatest Networker in the World, what I'd most like to do is have a conversation with any of you that wants it. So, Paula, Tony, Elvira, and anyone else who's available to talk to, got any questions from what you've read?
John, you talked about in one of the chapters about building relationships with at least one person a day. And at the end of the year, of course, you will have built 52 relationships. And what if some of those become top leaders or top producers in your company? John, could you share with us a little bit more how to transfer from that kind of a conversation into one becoming a strong distributor in your organization? That will become a superstar in your organization. What exactly would you be looking for as you hold that kind of conversations with them?
Joshua, what I'm looking for always is the fit. And network marketers, I mean, it's a horribly true statistic. 95% of all the men and women in this business are not achieving their goals, or they're struggling, or they're failing. And that's something that I have a very difficult time not taking personally. This business is very, very simple. It isn't easy. Be because you're in business for yourself, not by yourself, hopefully, because you've got a good organization around you. But what you come up against in network marketing are your own belief systems, your own limitations, your own fears, doubts, and worries. Because it's so much an individual effort, you're only going to get out of network marketing what you're able to put into it. And if those things are stopping you, if there are things that are stopping you, then those are the things you've got to get past. That's where the challenge is in this business. It's a business of being self-motivated. You don't have a boss telling you what to do. And very much every single network marketer, Joshua, is like a pioneer. Yes, your company's been around for a while. People have been squirting the dirt for a long time. There are techniques and ways of doing things. But for the most part, for each individual man and woman in this business, they tend to be pioneers. There's not really a map for them for what is the best way to do the business for them. And I'm very strong on there's only one right way to do this business, and that's the way that works best for you. You have your own strengths. You have your own values. And maybe, for example, you've got some really great computer skills. Well, that would mean that using the internet and working with autoresponders and websites, that would be a great way for you to go. But there are other people who you will bring into your organization who don't have that same, they're not as adept as you are. There are people who are great talking on the stage, and there are people who are scared to death of it. There are people who are tremendous one-on-one. There are people who give a great party-type, home-based presentation. All of us have various things that we do, skills that we've got, that we do just marvelously well, and other things we don't. So part of what it is to be an upline sponsor is to be able to recognize what an individual person's strengths are. And you do that, as Tony said, in conversation. That's how you find that out. You find out what people's values are. And we can demonstrate this tonight if that's something you'd like to do. How to have a conversation for values, because a conversation where you're really listening for that other person's values, that's a conversation where you can find out whether or not there's a fit with you and the person you're talking to. And that's what I say you want to look for. The problem most network marketers have is they don't go looking for a fit. They go out to get a customer or get a business partner. Now let me ask Paula, Elvira, Tony, Joshua, if somebody tries to get you to do something, what's your reaction?
Put up your defense mechanism. You
exactly.
You really don't want to do it. You're like, oh, what's this all about?
You're gonna do the classic psychological fight or flight.
I become rebellious, John.
That's what I just said. Fight or flight. You're gonna do one of two things. And since we're all mature, cultured, socialized people, we don't smack people in the face with our fists. We smack them with our mind and our mouth. And that's called handling objections. That's where objections come from. Objections come from somebody trying to get somebody as a customer or into the business. And the other side is flight. And basically, we don't run away. What we do is we stop listening. The only thing we're listening for is an opportunity to get out of the conversation and look good as best we can. Get out of the conversation and still be a good person. We don't want to tell a person, oh, shut up, I'm not interested, go away, go to whatever. We want to leave, but we want to leave gracefully. So those are the two things that people do when you try to get them to do something. And, you know, I'll bet a bunch of you have kids. and spouses or partners that you deeply love. But even when they try to get you to do something, you've got a negative reaction, right?
Yeah. True.
So instead of getting people to be customers, instead of getting people to become business partners, what I want to recommend that you take a look at is go out and look for a fit. Look for a fit with your product and this person. Look for their needs and wants. I think it was Paula. Paula, you're the one that's selling Corvettes to people, right?
That's me, yeah.
That's you, right? So you're looking for a fit. If you got somebody who's walking in there, who really what their need and want is a four-door luxury sedan, they're going to have a real tough time slinking down into a Corvette.
Exactly it.
And you need to know that. And on deeper levels, you also need to know what else they want. What else do they need? What are their values? What are their desires and dreams? What do they truly deserve? And you only find that out in conversation. And that's the conversation where you're looking for a fit. You're looking for a fit with this person and a Corvette. That's the fit you're looking for. And it's the same thing in your business. It's the same thing with your product. It's the same thing with your business opportunity. You're looking for that fit. And it's very much, Joshua, it's like you go past the shoe store and you see a gorgeous pair of shoes. These shoes push your lust button down. You know, they are wonderful and soft and stylish, and they're about $1,700. And you say to yourself, well, you know, I don't want to come from scarcity here, but I don't want to pay $1,750 for a pair of shoes. Sorry, they are beautiful, but that doesn't work for me. Well, you come back a number of weeks later, and they're on sale for $100. And you run in the store, and the salesperson puts that gizmo, that aluminum sliding width and length thing, and finds out that you're a size 10, and comes running back with a size 7 and a size 13. What are you going to do? It's a great bargain. You love the shoes, but they don't fit.
I don't know.
And it's the same thing you're doing in network marketing with people as potential customers, with people as potential business partners. And you do it through a conversation. When I was here the last time, did I by any chance play a thing called the mirror game with you guys? You'd remember it.
No.
Cool. All right. Who wants to play?
Tony does.
Tony, everybody just stepped back two steps, and you volunteered.
I guess I'm in front.
You are. I want to thank you for your courage in volunteering and tell you that you've got a couple of business partners here you got to be careful of.
I noticed that. Well, I'll have to have more conversation and figure that out better.
All right. Here's what I want to demonstrate. This is a very powerful and simple conversation that you can have for people. Now, for all of you who are listening right now, what I want you to listen for are Tony's values, those things that are most important for him in his life. These are the things that are going to tell you if you're a fit with Tony. Now, this is a wonderful little game, and I'll turn you on to a surprise at the end of it. And it's something you people can do this evening. You can do it tomorrow. It works all the time. It's just an extraordinary conversation that you can have. And you'll learn why it's called the mirror game in a minute. Tony, what I want you to do, please, while everybody's listening for your values, thank you for being my guinea pig. I want you to tell me the name of somebody you know in your life that you truly admire?
Wow. Well, it may seem amazing to some of you people, but my wife, Leonette, I truly admire her.
Leonette. How do you spell her name?
It's actually spelled Leonette. L-E-O-N-E-T-T-E.
Do you know where it comes from? That's very unique.
It was her grandmother's name that her father gave her, and I'm not sure, but they're out of Missouri.
Far out. So, tell me three or four things that you admire most about Leonette.
She's a very strong social person. People are very important in her life. She does what she says she'll do, and she'll go out of her way to make sure she can help anybody that needs help. Just amazing.
Okay, you went by these real fast. So one, she's very strong. And two, she's really social. People are very important to her.
Absolutely.
And number three, you said that she really is her word.
That's correct.
Her word is important. She does what she says she's going to do.
Yes.
Cool. And what was the fourth one, Tony? I missed that one.
I said that she was very social. In other words, she'd go out of her way to help people that are in need, that need help. In other words, if somebody asks her for something, she'll make sure if she can do it, she will.
She really helps people. She really contributes to people. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
Cool. Let me go back to this first one. You said she's a pretty strong person.
Mm-hmm.
What makes that so special for you, Tony?
I don't know. When I was young, when I go back and think about it, my parents came back from a family where the wife stayed home, while my father went out and did a lot of stuff. And matter of fact, she didn't even drive, so she was very much dependent upon it. But she was very much a homebody, where she was really a mother and of us. And took care of us and anybody that needed help. But I wanted someone that really went out in the world and was more of could be a stronger person in the entirety as far as a woman. So that's what I looked for in a woman when it goes back from my wife, my partner. Not making anything of my mother was negative. It was just that I thought that she could be much more than what she was.
I understand. So is part of Leonette's strength that she's ambitious and she's out in the world?
Absolutely.
And you admire that. You really value that, yeah?
Yes, I do.
And the part about people being very important to her, what is it that's special for you about that?
I was probably more of an introvert when I was young. I was skinny, bony, and everything else, and a lot had to do with the fact that what do kids do and those things. But I always wanted to be more like that myself. I wanted to be, and here so I looked for someone as a partner that would help in the areas that I was weak with. So Lena to me was that person. She had great training in that through her family because they were all in like real estate, but she had also been a Girl Scout and a leader in that type of an arena. So I knew that by my conversations with her and her family and everything else, that she was fulfilling that dream that I had for my life's mate also.
I understand. What is it that is special for you about Leonette's caring for people, how important people are to her? What do you admire so much about that?
Well, I find that extraordinary. People are willing to give up so much of their own time and stuff to help other people, and I've strived to be that way myself. So I guess it's a way of me measuring myself, some way of measuring myself against that area that I want to improve on.
Got it. And you admire her because she does what you say she's going to do.
Yeah, she's very good at it, yeah.
What's important about that for you?
It makes it easier when you're working with someone that's their word. It's just, always looking at ways to be better in that area myself. And I know that she's been working on this area herself, and she's mastered it recently. And so being your word is really important, because then you know that what somebody says they are, you know.
So she's somebody that you can really count on, right?
Absolutely.
And that has a lot of trust in it. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. And the last thing that you mentioned, Tony, was how she really helps people. What a contribution she is. And I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that this is a person who really is up for making a difference in other people's lives. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She spends a lot of time in some of the different training things that we do for personal development, and then sometimes as a coach in those, that helps other people significantly, and she gets great reward for that. And it's exciting to see her excited about that. So just watching her, it makes her life more fulfilled. It didn't make my life more fulfilled.
Got it. Tony, thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, what we just did is a little thing called the mirror game. Here's how it works. Tony was talking all about his wife. Now, did you get a couple of values of Tony's? Is his wife important to him?
Absolutely.
Is this man proud of this woman?
Very proud of her.
Yeah, and he had some pretty tough criteria for his wife, didn't he?
Definitely.
I mean, he was just not out, you know, if the person's going to fog the mirror, let's get married. That was not what Tony was about. He had some very specific ideas. So you begin to get a sense of who Tony is and how he is. Partnership is very important to him. How highly he regards and respects his wife. This is not a gender-challenged man we're talking to here. You know, this is not a chauvinist. Now, here's the mirror game. I asked him what he admired, and what he told me was about his own strengths, his own values. Now, if you listened carefully to the words and the music that Tony was talking, you know he's going to be a little shy. And I promise you, when he answers me now, he's going to say something like, well, I really need to improve in that area. How many times did he speak about improvement when we talked? 3, 4, 5? A lot. He wants to improve, and improvement is important to him. Is that true, Tony?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Now, let me ask you point blank. Tony, are you strong?
I believe I'm strong in many ways.
Guys, watch him weasel around these points. Just watch. Tony, don't guess me, dear man. You're a strong guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
You admire strength? Your own and others.
Yes.
And you're social, aren't you, babe? People are important to you, yes?
Yes.
And helping people is important to you, yes?
Yes, it is.
And if you're my friend or my partner, Tony, can I trust you?
Yes.
Can I count on you?
Yes, you can.
Are you a man of your word?
Most of the time. It's very hard to keep those time schedules sometimes, but I work on it.
Tony, are you a man of your word or not?
Yes. Yes.
Right. And are you into making a difference in people's lives? Is that really, really important to you?
Yes, it is. I enjoy making a difference in people's lives. One of the areas that I have worked over the years and haven't done it for quite a while is coaching youths. I enjoy that because it makes a big difference in people's lives as they're young and learning values.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, and Joshua, your question was, based on my statement that if you go out and make one relationship a day, every day you do the business, take weekends off, take 1 month in the winter to go ski or go south, take 1 month in the summer to go to the beach or go south and find a place to ski, you're going to end up with 40 people in your business. Now, I just had a conversation with a man who is what? Is this guy a potential leader or not?
He's a leader in my book.
He is a leader.
He's a huge leader.
Aspect.
If you had this conversation and played the mirror game with Tony, what I would do at this point in this conversation is say, Tony, look, I got a business. And it depends on my getting into partnership with extraordinary men and women, people who have values that glow in the dark, people who want to make a difference in people's lives, people who can be counted on, people who are great with people and can be trusted, strong people. And Tony, you're exactly what I want as a business partner. Exactly what I want. Will you give me 5 minutes of your time, maybe 10 if we get chatty? Just let me show you what I'm up to and see if it's a fit for you. Tony, what would you say to me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And we've known each other for how long? 5 minutes?
Yeah, a little bit more than that, but yeah, five minutes.
Okay, fine. You've got the counter on the recording device there.
Yeah, I do.
Folks, you can connect with another human being. I think it was Elvira who mentioned the story that I told, maybe in the last call, about the psychiatrist who was writing a book and bought a plane ticket from New York to L.A. and spent 6 hours only asking his seatmate questions. And when the plane landed and his research assistants interviewed his seatmate, the seatmate said he didn't know the psychiatrist's name, and this man, the psychiatrist who only asked questions, gave no facts about himself for 6 hours, was the single most fascinating person he'd ever met in his life. Tony, how did the conversation feel to you? I know it's a little artificial. You and I are both on the phone. It's being recorded, all of that stuff. But was it intrusive to you?
Yeah, it was an intrusive. I was very pointed because we got into some very interesting details about, you know, some of my personal life.
Did you feel validated or violated?
I didn't feel violated. I gave those answers freely and once I got rolling, you know, so.
Do you have a good time talking about yourself?
I think I do, yeah. I think most people do, and I do, yeah.
Well, did you?
Yes, I did.
So, look, guys, we've got a positive conversation. There is a ton of stuff about this man that there is to like and love. No kidding. I mean, look who he is. And look at the devotion and respect he's got for his wife. You know, I mean, we live in a country with a divorce rate of 197%. Look at how this guy holds his wife. Man, is this not somebody you want as a business partner? This is somebody who you know is going to be a leader. You know it. There's no doubt. And Joshua, that's how you find him, babe.
He definitely is a fit in my book.
Yeah.
Sign him up.
And, you know, if he said, you know, I hate my wife, you know, she's a blah, 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 and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that. It's like, guess what? Ain't a fit. Ain't a fit for me. I don't want him in my business. Now, maybe he's got a dirty car we can clean up, but that's about it. So that's the process. It is a conversation. You get into, you have that conversation with people. This is the mirror game. It's just one way of doing it. It's not the only way, but it is gorgeous because you ask people what they admire, who they admire, and what is it about those people that they admire, and I'm telling you, they will tell you all about who and how they are. And that's just one example of how you can use speaking and listening and really make it work, really make it serve your people and your business. And you know what? If Tony and I don't connect, we got a basis of a friendship going. We don't, you know, I can call this man back up and say, Tony, how are you? Listen, I understand you were recording the call. Do you do that professionally? Tell me a little bit about that.
No, I don't know professionally.
That was a rhetorical question.
Oh,
for the moment.
Okay.
But see, look how easy and natural that was to happen right away.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing you can do. You can do it online. You can do it on the internet. You can do it across the coffee table at Denny's. You can do it at your dinner. You can do it in your home. You can do it in the line at the supermarket. And it's networking. It's relationshiping, friendshiping, partnershiping, and leadershiping. And when you do that shipping well and rightly, bam, we give you a check in this business. And when you do it masterfully, we give you an outrageous check. Joshua, what else can I do for you?
So, John, what you're saying is that in our conversation with people, we don't want to jump right into telling them about our business.
Never. Did I make my point?
You did.
Yes,
oh, good. Yeah, the biggest problem in this business is you got network marketers out there. Most of them are desperate to bring somebody into the business, and they go out and they whack somebody up the side of the head with a 2x4 of their opportunity without knowing who the person is. What makes them tick? What's important to them? That's crazy.
I learned so much. John,
don't you love it when I hold back, Joshua?
Oh, my goodness, John. I can't wait until we have a one-on-one. I've always told you in very, very high esteem, and the 100 ports we have is filled up. I've been receiving phone calls on my other line, people trying to get on this call, and I know this is going to be outstanding. However, I would like you to spend just a few minutes that we have here to talk about the greatest networker community, because we would like everybody that is on this call to not just stop here tonight with this call, but to continue to be educated with the different resources that you have available. Please, John.
Well, folks, this is a sales pitch, and I must admit to you that I can sell Joshua. I can sell your waterless car cleaner better than I can sell me. So if you'll forgive me for stumbling and bumbling, the greatest networker community is an absolutely extraordinary resource. And in the next 7 days, you have the opportunity to get it and lock in a price that is going up as of June 1st. It is a membership in a community, and we have more resources for network marketers and better resources for network marketers than any entity on the planet, no kidding. We have a library of 275 articles, 330 hours of audios, and I mean some of the best audio recordings you've ever heard, interviews that I've done, mastermind calls, the full 6 hours of Carol McCall's Empowerment of Listening, the full 10 hours of Brian Klemmer's Pursuit and Practice of Personal Mastery. Some really classic, extraordinary stuff is on our site. Plus, we have 21 complete books, As a Man Thinketh. We also have it recorded. Just some of the most wonderful material you've ever read. My books, Joe Vitale's Spiritual Marketing, Richard Brooks' Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, Bob Proctor's You Were Born Rich. Those books are all there in our library. You get the rights to share them with your people. You get a customized web portal we call your face page. You get every Tuesday we do a mastermind call. This Tuesday we have a gentleman named Art Jonak. Art is one of the most successful network marketers I know. And when I knew him first 10 years ago plus here in Charlottesville, Virginia, Art was a crazy, drinking too much college kid. And now he's just about $1 million income earner. And I think he's got a vision of being the first network marketing billionaire. He's an extraordinary guy. He's on our call. Last week we had a great coaching call. Every Tuesday we do these calls live. We invite you, and you can invite your guests. We have more resources to tell you about, and they'll overwhelm you. There's so much. And right now, if you go to www.greatestnetworker.com, just go there, read that first page, and if you click on membership within the next week, you'll get a membership, and you can lock in the monthly membership. It's less than $20. It's going up to $24.95 on June 1st. And there are annual membership offerings that we're making of $197 for 1 year, $300 and $400 for 2 years and 3 years, that you can lock in these prices. And folks, it ends up being less than a cup of Starbucks coffee per week. And you will have the finest resources to build your business, to train yourself, and you can share it all with your people. Every Thursday night, I do a personal call. How to use the website, Get Rich Slow, why it might be the fastest way of all. I do a mentoring coaching call. And I have a special guest call. Go ahead, Joshua.
We have 30 seconds. I want to thank you very much for being on the call. And everybody on the Book of the Month Club, you are champions in our industry. And thank you for being on the call tonight. And we thank you, John.
Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate you. Get in touch with me. Let's find out when you're coming down here, boy.
Definitely. I will do that. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You, sir.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, John. And thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
My apologies for putting you on the spot there, Tony. I just felt that you would get such, that you would benefit all dibs on that, too, okay?
Hey, it's okay with me.
All
worked
right.
Up great. Okay, thanks.
Bless your heart. Bye-bye.
Good talking with you, Mara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
It's Sanzini.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. I've been out of cell phone range for the last 55 minutes. I just got the tail end of the call. When do you think you'll have it up on the website?
It's going to be a few days. Joshua and I are going to work on preparing some sort of PowerPoint with pictures and stuff, and then maybe he's going to do a wrap-up summary that I'm going to record and add to the end. So it's going to be a few days.
Okay.
And
I'll check it in a week or so.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Tony. Bye.
Welcome to Eagle Talk Conference. You on this conference call too? Not Joshua, but the other gentleman who I was just talking to?
Yeah.
Okay. It was interesting because
Who's on the call?
This is Elvira, Joshua, and there's another gentleman. I was just getting to that.
Okay, all right. Elvira, welcome to the call. Who else do we have on the call already?
My name is Ted Dever.
Hey, Ted, how are you?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Pretty good. Ted, which state are you from?
I'm from British Columbia in the west coast of Vancouver Island.
B.C., a place I would love to go right now and have a jolly time.
Yeah, well, that's the place to be.
Excellent. Welcome to the call, Ted.
Tell us where you are.
Say that again?
I said that's the place to be as well as where you are.
I like that response.
I'd probably like to be where you are.
You must be reading John Milton Fogg's book. Who else is on the call with us tonight?
Joshua, this is Paula in Denver. How are you?
Hey, Paula, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to the call tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. Who else do we have on the call?
Tony Stafford here.
Tony, welcome to the call. How are you today?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. This is an exciting call. I'm looking forward to read very, very much.
Yeah, I am also. And the recording is underway.
Fantastic. By the way, everybody, Tony is our recording engineer tonight. I will be saying a little bit more about Tony. Thank you, Tony, for coming to the call. Who else do we have on the call? We have quite a number of people from the West Coast.
Joshua, we have the Lewin family riding in the car.
All right, Kent, welcome to the call from Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
So we have the East Coast on board. Who else is on the call?
Joshua, can you hear me?
Steve. Sounds like Syracuse is in the house. Who is that?
That's Scott.
And Anna from Syracuse. Thank you very much for being on the call. Appreciate you. Who else is on the call?
Ronnie from Virginia.
Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Well, you're not too far from John Fogg. He's also from Virginia.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Who else is on the call? Okay, I'm just going to with John to make sure that he's on the call. Elvira?
Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed, Elvira.
Okay, I guess I didn't move myself out. Yeah, what can I do for you, Josh?
Could you do me a favor?
Yes, I'll find out who else is on the call.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other new timers or other people that have just joined our call?
Good evening. This is Ron Allen from Hamlin, New York.
Ron from Hamlin, New York. And what's your last name?
Allen.
Ron Allen. Welcome, Ron.
I'm glad I'm here.
Well, great. Anybody else? Okay, well, let me just do a quick kind of head count here. Tony, I know you're on with us. Kent and his family, Scott, then Anna, Ronnie, Ron, and I believe it was Ted from British Columbia.
That's right.
Okay. Any other callers?
Paula from Inglewood, Colorado.
Hi, Paula. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Elvira. How are you?
Good. You ready for your June, what is it, June 1st? You're having a conference or a meeting?
June 5th. We're having CPAL.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal.
Yes.
Any other people coming in on our call?
Elvira, I'm still trying to get John. I'll be there in a little bit.
That's all right. I'll continue.
Okay.
And everyone does know that today's Book of the Month Club is Conversations with the Greatest Networker. John Milton Fogg is the author on this book, and he is going to be a guest speaker. Joshua is currently working to get him online. Do we have any other people who've joined our call? None. Okay. Let's see here. Now, for those of you that aren't aware of it, or maybe everybody is here, Tony Stafford is actually going to be recording this call, and we're currently recording as we speak. So this will be pretty exciting. Now, Tony, am I under the impression, do I understand that this is going to be available through the Internet?
Yes, that's the goal. You know, one of the things that I have been a big person that advocates is that many times we create events that last one time in time, and I think that we don't need to recreate these if we just preserve them a little bit and make them available to people that they're in a busy time of their life where they can't quite get to it when we're ready for it. Maybe when they're at night in the evening when they put the kids down or something like that. So we're going to make it available on the Internet.
Great. Thank you, Tony. Super. Any other callers that have joined our call? And I'm sure that we probably have some other people who maybe are on the listen-only call, so as far as that's concerned. But if anyone is interested in joining the Book of the Month Club who is currently not able to communicate on the moderator number, Joshua Whale will have that information available to everyone later. So you certainly are welcome to listen in for those of you who are listening. And if you'd like to join the Book of the Month Club, certainly it's, I know for me, it's been a benefit. It puts me in a position of having to read, which is not something I normally do, but it's certainly been a pleasure. Any other callers joining us?